If chimpanzees invented their own social media platform, it would look very different from our own. Chimpbook would feature posts by male chimps, sending veiled threats to rivals and making sly advances towards females. And female chimps would post flattering, filtered photos of their swollen sex organs during peak fertility. Okay, so it might not be that different from human social media in these respects. But one big difference would be which posts get shared. As in our social media, outrage would feature strongly. But while you might see plenty of tirades posted about individuals who'd wronged the poster, few, if any, would receive an opposable thumbs up or be shared so that others would join in the outrage. Onlookers would have little interest in signalling their own moral purity by reposting the outrage, and only cases of mass shaming on Chimpbook would be when one individual crossed an entire community, and even then it would only be that community revelling in the scandal. In fact, I'd hazard a guess to say that Chimpbook wouldn't be as profitable as the social media giants servicing Homo sapiens. Without the human propensity for getting outraged at harms inflicted on third parties, or the penchant for moralistic punishment, chimp social media would be a far more sedate affair. But human social media doesn't only service our desire to share outrage and join in moralistic punishment. It amplifies them beyond anything that would have existed during our ancestors' time. About 5 minutes before I wrote this sentence, I indulged in a Tim Tam slam. For the uninitiated, and this tip might be worth the price of the book in itself, you take a single Arnott's Tim Tam biscuit, nibble a bit off each end, then dip one end into a mug of piping hot coffee, wrap your lips around the other end, and suck. The result is a blast of intensely sweet, hot, chocolatey coffee, followed by a hasty devouring of a rapidly disintegrating, melty biscuit soaked in caffeine. It is messy, but divine. And it's something our taste buds were never evolved to handle. A Tim Tam slam is what evolutionary biologists call a supernormal stimulus. Think of our minds as containing a bunch of buttons that have evolved to respond to particular stimuli with adaptively appropriate responses. A ripe piece of fruit pushes the sweet button and delivers a jolt of pleasure, encouraging us to seek out more energy-rich ripe fruit. Stepping on a sharp rock pushes the pain button, encouraging us to keep a lookout for similar dangerous obstacles in the future. These buttons are calibrated to the natural world that we evolved in. So a ripe piece of fruit and a sharp rock are normal stimuli. But there is nothing in the natural world that comes close to a Tim Tam slam and its layers of sweet, bitter, creamy, crunchy, and hot. It pushes a bunch of buttons far harder than anything in the natural world could. The problem with supernormal stimuli, like Tim Tam slams, is that they also tend to make us respond in a supernormal way. Where a sweet peach might trigger a small pleasure rush that encourages us to climb a bit higher to reach another plump fruit, a Tim Tam slam drowns us in such ecstasy that we find ourselves overwhelmed with desire for another one. And another one. To the point that we end up harming our own health. Likewise, social media. It pushes the outrage button hard. That's not the only button it pushes. Being social creatures, we've developed an acute interest in how we are perceived by others, particularly by other members of our in-group. We yearn to be seen by them as being valuable and influential as individuals and desirable as partners. We also yearn to be seen as being committed members of our particular moral tribe. As a result, much of our communication might appear to be expressing new ideas or sharing information, but we all quietly know that we're not saying anything our peers don't already know. In fact, we're saying stuff they already know precisely because they already agree with it. We're really just waving our team's colours for the rest of our team to see, thus proving our moral credentials and reinforcing our group allegiance. The philosophers Justin Tosi and Brandon Warmke call this moral grandstanding, and it's almost like social media was built for it. It feeds us a constant stream of commentary from our peers that we feel we must visibly support in order to reinforce our ideological allegiance. It also tends to promote more outrage, because sharing outrage at perceived outgroups is a potent way of reinforcing our in-group identities. Our propensity to experience outrage and to engage in moralistic punishment was calibrated for small-scale society. But when we log on to social media, we have an entire planet's worth of outrageous acts to respond to in a single news feed. It's like a fire hose of scandal, tasteless jokes, veiled racist remarks, ignorant politicians, ill-advised sexual dalliances, and people doing dumb things, which all ends up pushing our outrage button with supernormal intensity. Even though outrage is frustrating, it can also be compelling. It can be addictive.